Well, today we're coming out of a sermon series in which we have been exploring the identity of Grace Community Church. And today's a very special message. And so for those of you who've been a part of Grace for some time, those of you who are checking Grace out, this is in some ways an instrumental message that for us is charting the course forward. What is God's word, and how does God's spirit lead us going forward from where we are as a church today? Last week, the last couple of weeks, we talked about how the gospel, how the good news of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, is to permeate all aspects of our lives. It's to completely, radically overhaul and transform us. But not only does it permeate everything, it's the gospel, the kingdom of God, is expansive. It's far-reaching. It should reach to all corners of the world, to all peoples, all nations of the world. This is what happens in the kingdom of God when believers say, Jesus is worth it. The kingdom of God spreads. Jesus is worth it. More than anything in my life, more than my comfort, more than my pleasure, more than my way, more than my family. Jesus is worth it. The gospel spreads. The kingdom grows. Over the last 6 years, God has done an amazing work here at Grace Community Church, continuing progressively, growing something special here at Grace Community Church. 6 years ago, this church was a little church of 65 people. And I want you to look around today and see what God has done 6 years later. This is not anything in terms of our pride of what we've done. But consider, friends, what God has done. Amen. We've experienced the blessing of growth, not just numerically, but friends, there are so many stories of lives that are not the same because you've been touched by Jesus Christ. We're going to hear some of those stories in a couple weeks with baptism coming up here. And I know the Lord is twisting and working in some of you that you're on the fence and like, oh, I don't know. Just surrender to the Spirit, friends. Just say yes to him. It's a good thing. Come and talk to me. You know you want to. God has been growing something great within Grace Community Church. But it's not about us. It's his work. He's been doing this for 2,000 years, since Jesus died on the cross. Since he came to live the life that we couldn't live and to die in our place. When churches grow, they face all kinds of questions and challenges. What does this mean for our future? And today we're going to look at how God handled the growth of the local churches 2,000 years ago. How they were able to continue to grow in such a way that the kingdom continued to grow. Christianity, as of today, because of the kingdom of God, is the largest religion around the world. It is growing rapidly and virally in Asia, and in Africa, in South America, in Latin America. In the Southern Hemisphere, God is doing amazing things. But in Europe, Christianity, the gospel is on the decline. In the United States, we've reached a plateau. We are staying at pace as the population grows, so has the gospel. Will we continue to become part of the growing kingdom? Will we let God's work happen through us? Is the question. Will we continue to say, is Jesus worth it to let him grow his kingdom through us and through his ways? So we're going to look through various passages of scripture here this morning, friends, to see how God continued to grow his kingdom through his people, saying, you're worth it despite all the costs. We're going to start off in the book of Acts, and we're going to spend the majority of our time there looking at different movements, parts of the movement through Acts, starting in Acts 11, verse 19. So if you want to turn there to Acts chapter 11, 19, if you want to turn in your Bible or Bible apps, we have Bibles underneath the chairs in front of you as well. Let me pray while you're turning there. Lord Jesus, we come to you at this point, Father. We pray for your Spirit to lead us and guide us, Father. Today is about seeing what you have done following your way, Lord Jesus, letting your vision guide us and your pathways guide us, Lord God, that we continue to be part of your movement to spread the gospel. Jesus, you said, I will build my church on the truth that you are the rock and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, we want to be evidence of that. And not to the... Verse 19 through 26. Physician Luke captures this. He says, now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also. Those are Greeks. Preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was upon them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Skipping down to verses 25 and 26. So Barnabas went to Tarsus, took Saul to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year they met with the church and taught many great people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. We're going to see in these verses here is that God scattered the seeds of his people to plant churches geographically and ethnically. So after Jesus died, before he was taken back to the Father, he sent his disciples, he commissioned them, take this good news that I am the Savior. You've seen my life, you saw me die, you've seen me raised again. The implications you realize that I am God. I'm who I said I am. And I'm the Savior of this world. This message isn't to stay with you. It's to go to all people. Well, as the gospel had its work, the people of God, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Exciting things were happening in Jerusalem. But the problem was, is it was only happening in Jerusalem. It had stopped and stalled out there. It was growing, but it hadn't moved beyond Jerusalem. It had only stayed with Jews. God in his sovereign hand, through the persecution of Stephen, the people of God were chased away from Jerusalem, and they went into all the different regions of the area. And it just so happened that while they were scattered, they were sharing the gospel. They were sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel started to spread geographically. But not only that, the gospel started to spread to all nations across ethnic lines. You see in these verses here in chapter 11, we see that the people of God, they were initially only spreading it to Jews. It was this ethnically specific kind of thing. But God was, and he sent some of his people to a place called Antioch to share the gospel with Greeks. This was a huge paradigm shift. It seems like a small thing to us today, but it was a huge paradigm shift. And what would happen here in Antioch would become a prototype, the poster of how the gospel would spread through planting churches. The Roman Empire. You see, this movement of the gospel was not manufactured. This was not started, if you notice, by human intentions, by human planning. This was by the sovereign hand of God. He moved his people. He demonstrated that he would build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And God has shown then, like through Stephen, as he's done today, even through the persecuted church, that even the greatest forms of hostility and opposition against the gospel, God uses like gasoline on a fire. Last night, we watched the movie Insanity of God here at Grace, and we saw that in the church in China, they went from 400,000 believers to 700,000 believers to 10 million believers to 100 million believers, all in the face of persecution, death, prison. organized opposition to the gospel, then it would have been snuffed out. Even thousands of years ago, but no. No. This is a movement of God. Amen. We see something special here starting in this place called Antioch. God's church planting movement. Sending his people out geographically and across ethnic boundaries to start new churches. It doesn't stop there. Let's continue to watch this unfold here. Turn with me over to Acts 13, verses 2 and 3. Verses 1 through 3. Here we're going to see how Spirit-led churches will send its people out to spread the gospel and to plant churches. There were in the church at Antioch, okay, take note of that, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. What we see here in Acts 13, this wasn't anything kind of special going on. This worship service, this was just an ordinary gathering of God's people. This was an ordinary Sunday, just like you and I, where Jesus is being lifted up, where God's people are seeking hard after him. They're genuinely loving him, seeking that they become like him, lifting up his name in worship through song. It's just an ordinary day. When we are genuinely set on seeking the face of the Father, God's Spirit will lead and speak to us, friends. As we go along, as we are a faithful church who remains all about Jesus, not about us, seeking his face, God will speak. He will raise up leaders to be sent out to plant churches, to start and spread the gospel. We saw this last week. We talked about how Paul unfolded how the gospel is to be spread. How are people to hear the gospel and respond to the good news of Jesus as our Savior? Unless people preach the gospel. But how are people to preach unless they are sent? That is the responsibility of us as churches. We are to be sending churches. If we are to be part of God's continual work of spreading the kingdom, the love of Jesus, salvation to the world. Spirit-led churches will send its people out to spread the gospel and to plant churches. Let's keep following this story and to see what happens with Saul and Barnabas. Where do they go? What do they do? Turn with me another page to Acts 14. Starting in verse 19. We see there's more persecution coming. The Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barabbas. He just loved that. He just kept going. You know, he was about half dead, you know, beaten with rocks. You know, no big deal. I love Jesus. He's worth it. We're going to keep preaching the gospel. Going to keep preaching the gospel. All right, where was I? All right, so they went to Derbe. Okay, here we go. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Then they appointed elders for them in every church. With prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then passing through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went on to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work. In this passage, we see them come all the way back. They've been sent out from Antioch, right? They've been sent out to spread the gospel. They've been sent out to plant churches. And now it brings them all the way back. But what happened in between here? Did you pay attention there? There was persecution because they were spreading the gospel. Again, they didn't stop because Jesus is worth it. The world needs to hear Jesus. They need to know Jesus. And so how did they go about doing this? Well, not just evangelism. Their mission wasn't just to preach. But look, they made disciples. Okay? They developed the believers. They saw them grow in maturity. They established an organized church that was sustainable, not just with believers, but leaders as well. They raised up leaders. They raised up a fully functional, autonomous church. The mission was through Antioch. God had started the church there. God's Spirit had led them. Send out. Plant now other churches who would be fully functional, not dependent on Paul. The gospel wasn't dependent on Paul. It didn't start with him, and it didn't end with him. Paul raised up fully autonomous, fully functioning churches, almost like the Death Star, right? Fully operational, right? Okay, that was totally out of nowhere. I think I had too much caffeine this morning. Bear with me, friends. Fully functional, fully operational, independent, able to continue the mission of spreading the gospel and planting churches themselves. This is the process of multiplication. It's pretty fantastic to see how God brought this full circle. This would become, as I mentioned, the prototype and the pattern. Not always happening in this way. But this was the primary way through which the gospel was spread throughout the Roman Empire. Northern Africa, Asia, what is now Europe today, continues to use this method of churches, planting churches, that will plant churches to continue to grow the kingdom and spread it. Now, Paul had a means by which he navigated and determined how was he going to make the decision where he went and where he would go in spreading the gospel. Moving out of the book of Acts, but in Romans 15, he gave us insight as he wrote a letter to the church of Romans explaining why he had not come to them yet. In Romans chapter 15, starting at verse 18, he shares about the work of the gospel as we're talking about today, and as we consider even what God has done through us. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, which is, you think of north of Greece, Albania, Bosnia today, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. And this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain. Paul speaks of here the churches, his church planting, was led by places, by going to places and regions where the gospel had not yet been preached. First off, we see Paul here speaking of that his ministry of the gospel has been fulfilled. It's done. All right, now if you think about, just think about historically where we're at this time. And think about geographically. Jerusalem, all the way north of Greece. And if you're able to pull up a map in your mind, possibility, it's impossible for Paul to have spread the gospel to every non-believer and people from all other nations in that region. So what does he mean by he fulfilled his ministry? Well, scholars point out that his fulfillment of the ministry was by planting churches in strategic locations and hubs in all of these regions that would then, those churches would continue that work. They would plant other churches preaching the gospel in those regions, and it would be filled. college strategically planted churches so that they would continue that work of spreading the gospel and planting churches where the gospel had not reached yet. Paul's practice there was, I'm going to preach the gospel. I want to take the gospel where it has not been taken yet. Needs to be spread. And churches need to be planted geographically and across ethnic barriers and lines. That brings us the question of, what does that mean for us today? What does that mean for Grace Community Church? Is there the need for the gospel to spread in our community? Is there the need for the gospel to spread? Are there the need for more churches that love Jesus or passionately pursuing Him and spreading the love of Jesus Christ? Is there a need for more of this movement today? How about in Nobles County? How about in Murray County? Is there the need? Is it done? Are we fulfilled? Talk to me, people. No. Heck no. No, outside of Worthington, I'm taking a risk here, but I'm pretty confident in my research. Outside of Worthington, there is no evangelical church for 30 miles, 30-mile radius. And once you reach that perimeter, it's not like there's abundance of them. There may be one or two. When we get to Jackson, when we get to Slayton, when we get to Laverne, and God's forsaken Iowa, I mean, they just need Jesus, right? They just need Jesus in Iowa, right? Oh, I'm sorry. There's people from Iowa in here. Sorry. There's a need for the gospel to be spread, right? Amen? And not just geographically. Amen. When we look at our community, God has blessed us. And we consider things like, there are 20 plus churches that are English speaking in our community. We have about 6,000 Caucasians in our community, just Worthington. And we look at, God has brought in, we have around 6,000 Latinos in our community. And there's about 3 gospel-speaking churches. 3 gospel-preaching churches. There's 8 churches, but they're not all teaching the truth, friends. I hate to say that. But you look at that. The need for the gospel is across ethnic boundaries. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The gospel doesn't need to... We white people need the gospel too, amen? All right? But there are needs for the gospel to spread geographically and ethnically. Now, friends, God has been growing what He's doing here at Grace Community Church. He has been moving geographically and ethnically, even within this body. And it's been amazing to see that. But we have not done the work. When we start to say and get proud and say, look what we have done, we will cease to be effective for God's kingdom because there's more work to be done. We will begin to be satisfied with what we see done here. But friends, we talked last week that it's 2/3 of the people in our region do not know Jesus Christ. Well, we have a vision like Paul. As he said in this passage here, his role was fulfilled. We have the vision to look forward to that day where we can say, our work is done. The gospel has spread to every corner of Nobles County, to every nation in Nobles County, Murray County, the surrounding area. But we have that vision. Can we have that passion? We want to see the gospel reach every home, every corner of our communities in our county. Can we have such a vision? The way that happened through God's word, through the early church. You've heard it said here over the last several weeks, those of you who've been with us, we are a church that's all about Jesus and we multiply disciples, make disciples that make disciples. If we are faithful, God will continue to grow His kingdom. If we will be like our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church and say, He's worth it. Jesus is, He's worth all the sacrifices we make. His kingdom, lost people being saved, it's worth it. We will remain faithful in spreading the gospel. We will multiply disciples. We will multiply leaders. And when we do that, we can't help but, the compulsion is natural, we will multiply churches. If we do not remain faithful, friends, we will be like the national trend, and we will stall. And you know that America is just behind Europe. And anything that's not growing is dying. The growth is not our responsibility, but being faithful with the leaders of Grace Community Church. As we have prayed, as we sought the Lord, Lord, what are you wanting to do with us? How would you lead us? We are growing. Questions, y'all have asked it. I mean, what are we going to do with this building? How are we going to handle this? We're excited. We're growing. What does this mean for us? The scriptures have directed us. It's not a mandate in God's word, but it's a pattern that is a pretty powerful track record. We believe God is calling Grace Community Church to be a church that plants church geographically and ethnically. What does that mean for the future? How is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? You know what, friends? We don't know. We don't have the specifics and the logistics all nailed down. We don't know when. We don't know where. It could be next year. It could be in 3 to 5 years. We're not sure. But what we know is we're to be faithful. And we are to respond as a body to today and together. One day at a time, saying, Jesus, you're worth it. Jesus, you're worth it. And if we do, we will continue to take the gospel to the corners of our community and our county. And this gospel will spread. And churches will have to be planted. You know, God is bringing you all from different communities in the area. It may end up being in one of your communities that we end up planting a church. God is raising up people from all different ethnic groups to be trained up and equipped. And God may cause us to other ethnic churches here in Worthington. We don't know the specifics, but we want to be faithful and we want to follow his lead. And we ask you, we're inviting you to join us in following the Lord and his pattern. With bringing this vision up, this should raise some questions. What does this mean for us? Next week, at the end of the service, we have planned a town hall scenario for us to process some of this as a family together. I want you to seek the Lord. The leaders and I want you to seek the Lord. Pray. Logistically, think practically. What does this mean for us? And we want you to come back and have questions. We want to process this together. We want to seek the Lord together for what this means, for how he would lead us. In addition to this, we're going to be having a church multiplication seminar on December 9th, where leaders from our district are going to come down and share with us how God has been planting churches throughout Minnesota. And even, I know, in Iowa. It's amazing. We're going to have this training for us to come together to be equipped as a body to continue to multiply and see what God's kingdom can do through us. And so look forward to hearing more on that. So we bring this full circle. So we consider what God did in the early church, starting with the people at Antioch, where he caused his people to go there through persecution, to share the gospel with the Greeks there, started a new church. That church, seeking the Lord, sent out others to plant churches, fully functional churches that would plant. Jesus said he would build his church 2,000 years ago. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church continues to grow and spread. And I don't know about you guys, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of this movement. I want to be part of this. We're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. May we be a people who today we simply answer this question: is Jesus worth it? May we say yes, one day at a time. Yes, he's worth it for our community. And yes, he's worth it for this county and this region. That by God's grace, the gospel will spread and every person will know Jesus Christ and have the opportunity to choose him in our region. Amen. Let us be a church that makes disciples, that makes disciples, that has leaders who make leaders, and let us be a church that plants churches. The worship team, come on forward. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you now, Lord, asking, Spirit, that you would keep us faithful. Lord, we're here this morning, we're here today, talking about how you grew your church, because, Lord, you brought us to this juncture here and now of realizing and seeing, are we going to grow a big church that eventually becomes internally focused and comfortable? Or will you lead us? Will we let you lead us to be a church that goes beyond our comfort zone, that plants other churches, spreads the gospel, that sends the gospel? A church that reaches lost people in our region. Lord, this is bigger than us. And we don't have all the answers, but we want to follow you. And we ask, keep us faithful, O God. We ask, Jesus, that we would be willing to sacrifice everything, recognizing that you are worth it all. And it is worth it all that others would come to know you, Jesus, to love you, to be liberated by you. God, would you stir the vision in us that every corner of our community, that every corner of our county and our region, Lord God, has heard the gospel. Lead us, Lord God. May we be faithful. In your name we pray. Grace Community Church, is Jesus worth it?
Yes.
Is Jesus worth it?
Yes.
Amen, amen. May we be a faithful church, friends.